Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 240, top of the day to you. Pause for dramatic effect. Tom.
Hello.
He's back.
I am back.
From your gallivants overseas.
Yep. So much sojourning.
What was it like? Like, how much mask wearing had to be done here, there and everywhere?
We had to wear a mask on the way to Singapore, and then from Singapore onwards they were like, you'd have to wear a mask. And so we didn't wear a mask.
Well, I just think that wearing a mask on an aeroplane that potentially is 12, 14 hours plus a leg might be a bit difficult.
Yeah, especially with a baby.
Yeah.
It got too much. Definitely wore it at parts. But over in the UK, they're done with it. If you haven't had it by now, you're the rare one.
Yeah, I was listening to a podcast this morning, and it was from America, but one of the hosts was English, and he sort of said he'd had his second booster, so fourth shot, and that really knocked him out. He says I feel like I'm the odd one out. I've not had actual COVID yet.
Sure. Well, I got it over there.
Did you get a good one or an easy one? Was it hard or difficult?
Relatively easy. There's no ISO laws or anything there, and couldn't find a test where we were.
Okay.
Didn't know for a couple of days whether, you know, where that's, yep.
Yep.
There was a day at a theme park where maybe I shouldn't have. But
you didn't know.
Didn't know.
Yep. Yep. I feel like that happens though, just whether you are in reaching distance of some sort of COVID test or not, because you don't feel it straight away.
That's it. That's it. And it's potentially yes, potentially no.
Yeah.
I don't know. I felt a bit rubbish for a couple of days, not even too flu-y and stuff, but then afterwards I just got knackered. Like carrying Lily up the stairs, have to have a sit down after.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah. What about coughing? Did you have?
Nah, not much.
Because you remember that I cough so much I threw my neck out.
Yeah. No, I didn't have anything like that. It was
just fatigue.
Lily had it as well.
Uh-huh.
And she was a bit sicker during it, but afterwards seemed to bounce back straight away.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. Anyway, that's enough COVID chat. There was plenty of fun things. We had flights get cancelled all over the place. So we had to hire cars, drive through the night, do 130 in France. I think it was a 15-hour trip or something that was meant to take 7.
On the other side of the road as well.
Yep. Going to buddy Disneyland Paris.
Hello. Was it fun though? I mean, not the drive, but the Disneyland part?
That was great fun. We had fun there. We went to Alton Towers, went to Legoland, a lot of the kiddie stuff. Saw a lot of friends. It was good.
Yeah, nice.
Went to the cinema once.
Oh, would you?
I saw Thor, Love and Thunder.
Yeah.
But I was... And they do nachos in the movie.
That's a good idea.
It was a good idea. But then my Slurpee was a paper straw. And by not even a third of the film had already unraveled. Now I've got to sip out of this cup slushy like a dunce.
I get the whole idea of a plastic straw. Yeah, really good. But there are dangers. One danger is if it's in there too long, the liquid too long, but also if there's a small child who is also wanting to share that drink, they really make a mess of the top bit of the straw.
They bite.
Yeah. It's unusable. Yeah.
Paper straws. Sort it out.
Yeah. We need a better sorting. Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. This week's edition is brought to you by Pink Lamingtons. Should be illegal and shouldn't be called Lamingtons, but here we are living in a world where they're allowed to exist. Clancy of the Underthrow has admitted this week to never having seen anything Star Wars. Expecting major backlash for this revelation, he jumped in his car and sped off over the county border to Readersville. But the Star Wars fans missed his announcement as they weren't listening. They were busy discussing which of the Death Stars they would most like to visit on holidays. The general consensus was the original one because there would have been a lot of positive vibes and excitement on board because no one had blown it up yet. The berry picking season is coming up and we've been told to politely shoo away any birds we see having a peck at the plants. If they eat them all again before we get our hands on the delicious treats, the whole town will be angry and sulky. So do yourself a favour, and your fellow Watchersvillea. The town's cats have gotten into the factory where their canned food is produced. They've stolen over 200 kilos of fish, which was supposed to go into the fisherman's basket tin. That's always a feline favourite. So if your cat complains about the shortage of their preferred dinner over the coming weeks, tell them that they've only got themselves to blame. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville. I've got a quiz for you that's a little bit career-centric.
Okay.
And this is the first quiz that's happened in a while because I haven't done any quizzes whilst you were away.
Well, you'll be happy to know that while we were away, we had a barbecue and pulled together a bunch of different friend groups, Lindsay's friend groups.
Yeah.
And Shay hosted bloody trivia.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yep. She was inspired by you and came up with questions, worked on it all day.
Yeah.
And knocked everyone's socks off. She did really well.
How did you go?
I put the baby to bed, so I didn't get to play the actual trivia, but I could hear everyone howling with enjoyment. And my team won.
Oh, that's so good.
I don't know how that works, but.
I went to a trivia night whilst you were away, and my table came third, so that wasn't too bad. I thought that was pretty respectable because one of the other tables – You know, there's always a table where you're like, they're probably going to win.
Yeah.
And then there are other tables that you're like, there's a lot of people on that table. So third was good. I think it was quite respectable, quite respectable. I do like a good trivia night.
Yeah.
I don't think I do it all the time because if I went every week, it wouldn't be as much fun. You know what I mean?
Get burned out.
Yeah, yeah. And I suspect you eventually end up hearing the same questions.
So many times that you can remember that Paul Revere warned everyone about the red coats.
Yeah, that's right. Or that the unicorn is the animal of the national animal of Scotland, I think.
Yeah, that, sure.
I think Google that one and make sure that I'm right. But I've been watching a few things, but I suspect you've got a lot of...
Yeah, I watched a fair bit of stuff, a lot less than I thought I was going to.
Because you're busy.
I was busy. Yeah. I was going to bed at a reasonable time.
Nice.
It's too hot.
Oh, heat. That's right. Heat wave right through.
Oh, it was crazy.
Europe and whatnot.
Yeah. It was like mid-30s plus when we were at Disneyland. And then the last day when we were leaving, it actually hit 40 while we were in the plane.
Jeez.
We were not allowed to take off because it was too hot. So we had to sit in the plane.
Is that a thing?
Over in the UK, nothing's built for heat. So the houses are all built to retain heat.
Yeah, right.
No one's got air conditioning.
Yeah, right.
A lot of people don't even have fans.
Oh, geez.
So you got a
rough going.
Nighttime, 28, 29 degrees through the night.
Yeah.
No air circulation. You're like, this is a shit holiday to Cairns. What's going on?
This is going to Adelaide and staying in a caravan park.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, our flight got brought forward 9 hours. We spent nearly 3 hours going through security to get onto it. We finally got onto the plane. And then, ladies and gentlemen, this is the captain speaking. As I'm sure you're aware, it's very hot today, coming up on nearly 40 degrees. And, of course, as I'm sure you're also aware, it's much more difficult for planes to take off when it's hot. Hot air gives a lot less lift. And everyone in the plane just looks at each other and goes, that sounds scientific. Sure.
And the people from Dubai are like, what are you on about?
The runway we were going to be using began to buckle.
Oh, my
heat.
Gosh.
So we had to wait and get shifted over to a different one and all this.
That's full on.
So normally when I'd be watching stuff at nighttime when it's nice and cool, I was instead laying naked trying to fan myself with the sheets. Enjoy that visual, everybody. Yep. I'm back.
Yep. On that note, why don't we get into this here news?
Sure. Do you have any dandy Warhol updates for me?
I don't have any dandy Warhol updates.
Neither do I.
I
feel like I checked out of the fan club while I was away.
I felt like we got very close to running out of stuff unless we had to dive further in and become actual proper dandy
and
Warhol fans.
And I'm not prepared to do that.
I mean, I'm sure it'll be fun, but it's just there's only so many hours in the day.
It is, and I'm worried that it's going to be like a Candyman situation if we say Dandy Warhols too many times.
Yeah,
then
yeah.
We summon Courtney Taylor.
Yeah, and there's too many first names involved in that. I'm not. I'm a bit wary.
All right. Let's together pick up the dandy warhols.
Yes.
Take their beaten corpse.
Yes.
Put it inside this box, lock it, and let's bury it in the backyard with the other one that we don't talk about.
Done. All right. On that note.
Yeah, on that note.
There was a lot of cool stuff happening the past week.
It was. Comic-Con was on, baby. San Diego. I wish I was there, but I was not. But I followed bits and pieces online.
Yeah, me too.
I missed out part of listening to the Marvel thing because there was some stuff. But I followed along plenty afterwards. Boy, there was a lot.
There was a lot going on. A lot was announced. I think for me, I was a little bit surprised to see that The Walking Dead were like, hey, you know, Rick and Michonne, it's not a movie. They're not movies that everybody assumed weren't going to be made. It's a series now.
Six episodes. We're going to wrap it up, everybody.
Okay.
Do you want Negan and Maggie? No? Okay. Do you want Daryl and Carol?
Without Carol?
No. How about Rick and Michonne? Will you come back for that?
Okay.
While I was away, deleted season two of World Beyond or whatever it's called.
To make you feel good?
Oh, so good. Yeah. And deleted the rest of Fear the Walking Dead. I'm done. I'm going to finish out Walking Dead. I might watch these other spin-offs if they're good. I will check out the anthology series. I don't know if you saw that.
That one seems more interesting to me.
That sounds like a bit of fun. Yeah. Some of that one, I think there's one that's Parker Posey and Gillian Bell as the world falls apart.
That's what we want. We want fresh stuff. Like all of these characters are just so swept up in twists and turns and everybody being horrible to each other because that's what The Walking Dead is, that I don't want to see that anymore. I want to see new stuff. And I feel like that the anthology is kind of where it's at. Why would I want to watch a show about Daryl without Carol? Well, I mean, even if it's Carol and Daryl, I was like, sure.
I would say you could do a pretty amazing dialogue-free Daryl show.
Yeah, like Mr. Bean.
Not the angle I had in my head, but I'm kind of digging that.
Yeah. I don't know why that came into my mind.
I'm thinking brooding, silent movie type thing. Yeah, that's not silence. It's him.
They're not going to do that. No. He's going to want to talk.
You could have one episode of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be cool.
So, yes, that was all done. Quite a few Marvel stuff, like you said.
Yeah, there was a whole bunch. So they confirmed, for Kevin Feige confirmed that Phase 4, which no one really knew what was ever really about, is going to be wrapping up with Black Panther 2 at the end of this year, Wakanda Forever. Mm-hmm. And then we kick off Phase 5, which lasts 2 years, and then Phase 6 after that, which will begin with Fantastic Four, and we'll wrap up with two new Avengers movies, The Kang Dynasty and Secret War.
So The Kang Dynasty is the one that they announced who the director is.
Yes, the guy who directed Shang-Chi.
Which is very cool. Mm. I do really like that film. I've watched it a couple of times now and thoroughly enjoyed it on the second watch as much as I did the first. So I think it's going to work well.
Well, they've said that if everything leading up to Thanos was the Infinity Saga, then retroactively we will see all of this as the Multiversal Saga.
Okay.
Which makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense, yeah.
Kang Dynasty is going to be a whole lot of time travel and multiversal shenanigans.
Do you know anything about the Kang Dynasty? Dynasty?
So Kang is what they will use for the films, I don't know, but he's a very, very convoluted character in the comics, in that Kang is known by like 10 different names because he's lived at every point through history.
Okay.
But then he will go back and like rewrite history as a later self. So
like George Lucas.
Well, kind of. Yeah. But like I'm trying. There's storylines where he's Reed Richards' great-grandfather. Mm-hmm. There's storylines where he's Reed Richards' grandson.
Okay.
At one point, he's known as Iron Lad, and he comes back to our time and helps form the Young Avengers.
Right.
As someone who's so upset by the villain he will become, he's trying to become a hero beforehand to see if that will break the cycle. He was Ramses II in Egyptian times.
So this character could be everywhere in all of the Marvel stuff.
Yes. So this is the guy who was at the end of Loki. Who Remains, that crazy guy.
Okay, yeah.
That is one iteration of Kang.
Okay.
So Kang appears in all timelines. Kang also appears across all multiverses.
So does that mean that – I'm just looking him up on my phone.
Mm.
Does that mean that he could potentially just be played by a multitude of people?
Look, different people can play him, but the guy who played him in who Remains in Loki,
yep.
He's appearing as him in Ant-Man 3, Quantumania.
Okay.
That's where we next see Kang, but that he's booked for a lot of these films, potentially TV shows as well, for these next three phases. Kang is fucking convoluted.
Yeah.
And then to jump into Secret War afterwards – wow. Secret War is a big storyline that I'm not even going to try and unpack here. It could go a couple of different ways, but it's always the end of the universe because of other multiverses stuff.
The multiverse stuff is a lot.
Mm.
Like, I don't need to talk about it because you spoke about it before, but I watched Doctor Strange 2
yes.
and the multiverse thing. And the way that movie starts, you're just like, oh, okay, let's get ready for this to be confusing. And that kind of did calm down a bit, but there's a lot of that multiverse stuff.
They're pushing it hard.
Yeah.
So basically we've got a whole bunch of films that we now know when they're locked in for. And, you know, as I said, we've got Black Panther end of this year. Mm-hmm. Next year we'll have Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, or Ant-Man 3.
Yep.
Guardians of the Galaxy 3 in yep. May. We've got the Marvels, which is Captain Marvel 2 with Ms. Marvel as well.
Okay. And the daughter of...
WandaVision.
Yes. I can't remember her name.
And then in November we'll have Blade.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yes. And then the following year, so 2024, we know we've got Captain America in May, and then one that I'm very excited for, Thunderbolts, which I've talked about this... The Dark Avengers.
Are they going to have AC/DC's Thunder song?
Possibly.
Thunder. It's not Thunderbolt.
I could see them go for Back in Black.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
AC/DC. Because that's a nice parallel to Iron Man.
Mm.
And that's probably the team that we've seen Julia Louis-Dreyfus sneaking around, snatching up bad guys for.
I forgot about that. That was exciting.
Yes. So that's July 26, 2024. Mm-hmm. And then... at some point just after that, later in the year, will be Fantastic Four kicking off Phase 6. Whew. Crazy stuff.
Plus, how many phases are there?
There's so many TV shows sprinkled in there as
so
well.
So many.
We're getting What If Season 2 will be right around the corner, a couple of weeks away. They've confirmed that there's a Marvel Zombies animated series, and that's going to be the first MA-rated cartoon on Disney Plus.
So is that along the lines of that What If episode?
I don't know if it's continuing the storyline from that one or whether it will be a wider storytelling. It could be kind of cool to do the comic book version of Marvel Zombies, the superheroes. As heroed people, when they turn, once they've eaten brains, can talk again and be smart again for a bit. It's just Spider-Man just breaks down crying every time at what he's done. It's amazing.
Oh, no, what have I become?
Yep.
I saw that Jamila Jamil was talking about how she kind of addressed the fact that there were some fans when you first saw her character in She-Hulk, they were like, but that wig is terrible.
It is.
And she was like, yeah,
that's the point.
It is. Yeah, and, I mean, she said a few different things, but... basically, it's like, don't worry.
It's part of it. Just watch.
It's part of it.
I think she's playing Kim Kardashian.
I hope so.
I think that's
kind of what it felt like, right?
Yeah.
And she is the perfect person to do that in such a beautifully self-aware way.
Yep.
So I'm...
It's only a handful of weeks till we get She-Hulk. I'm so excited for it. They've talked a lot about the fourth wall breaking. There was
a new
trailer came out from Comic-Con that shows much better CGI. Because they're closer to release.
Yeah, of course.
Much more believable and sort of stuff, but the tone is going to be very funny. And there's going to be a lot of cameos.
From other Marvel other Marvel characters?
Yep.
Awesome.
Yep.
Okay.
It looks like Wong's going to be in it a bit.
He's got to be in everything. I don't know what it is about him. I just...
I think they're using him, like the earlier films before Avengers.
Yeah.
Had Phil Coulson, the S.H.I.E.L.D. agent that popped up in all the different ones. And you're like, oh, it's that guy. They're kind of using him like that.
Yeah.
It's great.
Anything else that was a standout for you?
Look, I was very excited by the cast announced for Transformers Earthspark, which is a new animated cartoon via Nickelodeon. Mm. Which, you know, Transformers normally has the same few people voicing the same characters because Peter Cullen is always Optimus, that sort of stuff. But these guys, so this storyline is somehow that these Transformers are the first ones that are born with human DNA in the mix or something like that. Then they're not, I don't know. I didn't follow enough.
They are a different sort of cyborg.
Yes, but they're hanging out with a human family. But okay. Here is the cast list of just a few main people that I was like. Alan Tudyk is voicing Optimus. Hmm. Danny Pudi is voicing Bumblebee, which that already is great. Diedrich Bader is going to be voicing Mandroid, which is a proper human transformer. Diedrich Bader is the funny Batman from animated stuff. And he used to be on, what's that? The Drew Carey Show.
Oh, yeah.
But the one that made me go, oh, nice. They've got Rory McCann, aka the Hound, as Megatron.
Did you hear the voice?
No.
Be interesting.
And Megatron didn't have a Decepticons logo on him, so maybe he's a rogue agent, or maybe it was just hidden.
Maybe.
Either way, that was nice.
Either way, you're watching all of that.
Yeah, I'll be down for that.
So Nickelodeon, that means here you would get it through Foxtel, iTunes?
Foxtel or Paramount Plus.
Oh, Paramount Plus, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the one I keep forgetting about.
There's some good stuff on there, but there's one thing that there's not going to be more good stuff.
What?
They've only gone and cancelled Buddy Joe Pera talks with you.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? I'm genuinely shocked.
Because no one was watching.
Aww.
Look, it has a very committed small fan base, but.
Damn.
Yeah. He put up a beautiful blog post on his website about what happened. You know, he was out on tour for the first time in a few years when he found out, and disappointed, but at the same time, he was thrilled to have made three seasons of a kooky little show that doesn't fit any of the mold.
So, what do you think? What can you see being a thing now that for him?
I said he needs
just
to,
more.
He needs to start a podcast where he reads bedtime stories.
That's a really good idea. There's a lot of bedtime story podcasts,
make a lot of money.
A good one is a good one. You know, the best kind of nighttime podcasts are ones without ads at the beginning, or end. I don't want that loud.
No. Hey, have you been worried about your supplemental intake?
You're never going to be listened to ever again. Rules are rules. Oh, that's really sad. I'm sorry on your behalf.
Thanks.
About that one.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
There's a game I'm sure you've heard about it called Stray, where you play a ginger cat.
You have mentioned this game to me before.
In a robot world, this world used to be inhabited by humans. Mm. Well, it's on Earth, but this is deep underground. Something happened forcing the humans to build this underground world and hermetically seal?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Seal themselves from the outside world. Yeah. And this cat, you know, obviously years and years and years and years further into the future, finds its way into this underground city, and the humans aren't there. There's not many robots. What's happened? And as a cat, you kind of go through this sort of puzzle where you kind of go around having to find things and solve what happened.
Cool.
Pretty cool. But, of course, the modders have already gotten onto it.
Of course.
So this ginger cat, this ginger cat just looks like a cat, right? Very cute, whatever. But a modder called, his name is Chris Rubino. He's replaced the cat in Stray with a very, very good version of Garfield. So you can play as Garfield running around.
I hate Mondays. Yeah, nice.
I just thought that was a lot of fun because I think this game's only been out a couple of weeks, and, of course, someone's already done that.
I'd seen that someone had modded so you can play it co-op.
That would be good. You could be two cats solving one problem. What I love is that if there's a lounge or a sofa or anything, there is the option to walk up to it and scratch the hell out of
good.
It. It's this so funny.
Wouldn't be a cat game without that.
For no reason. There's no reason that that needs to exist, but it does.
That's what cats do.
Exactly. Exactly. Anything else?
One last thing. It's Shark Week.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know why it sneaks up on me every single week.
Because that's what sharks do.
Yes.
Silent killers. So the couple of highlights, the three highlights I've already downloaded but have not watched yet, Jackass Shark Week 2.0.
That's a good idea. That sounds fun.
Last year's one was fun. They show off a lot of the new guys that were in the new movie. And
I thought that would be the case.
Yes, and Poopy's got attacked by a shark.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like
he tried to do, like he tried to do like a, what was he on? Not a surfboard, but a kickboard or something, and got dragged behind a boat and did a flip over a shark and landed, and it came in and it savaged his hand. Yes. So he's going back in the water. That'll be good.
Brave.
There's an Impractical Jokers Shark Week episode. Great.
Yeah.
I'm on board with that.
So basically they went, what would Tom like to see?
I'll wait till you hear the third one.
Okay.
Tracy Morgan presents. Sharks with Tracy Morgan.
That's so good.
That's what it's called. Tracy Morgan presents Sharks with Tracy Morgan. So I don't know if you remember, but he appeared on Tanked, that fish tank show I loved, at least three times.
Was it? Oh, okay.
Getting various things done, including at one point he had his pool house converted into a giant tank for sharks.
He wasn't using it.
So he could go swimming in his pool and look out at sharks swimming in their pool.
That's when you know you're rich.
Or you're Tracy Morgan. Yeah. It's crazy stuff.
That's good fun. I got a few that I can really quickly power through. So as we know, Neighbours is coming to an end. In fact, maybe it's ended by the – maybe it's this week.
The filming has ended. I saw photos.
It's really soon that it's ending, right? As someone who hasn't watched it for a million years, I cannot –
We're all going to feel the power escape from Toadfish Rebecca's lungs.
Well, funnily enough, he's been asked what he's going to do. Ryan, I'm talking about, the actor.
Who?
Sorry, Toadfish.
Okay.
Yeah. And he said that – now, this is going to be interesting on a few different levels for you, I think. He said, I'm doing a civil construction course, which is about driving excavators and building roads. I like playing with those kind of machines. I like doing earthworks and all that kind of manual labor stuff. So that's where I'm at, but who knows where it's all going to end up. So he may not even continue the world of acting.
Roadfish.
Roadfish. It's good.
There you go.
Someone's going to come up with it on the work site, right? 100% they're going to do that.
Yep. Yep.
So, yeah, that's what he's up to at the moment.
Good on you.
Yeah, well, if you're over it. Sarah Paulson, who's always in good stuff and always does stuff
She does many
well.
Things.
She's very busy. She's coming in a new thriller called Dust.
Oh, how surprising.
Yeah, I know. She's in a thriller, right? Scary stuff. She's that's going to be on the it's going to be in Hulu in the US, so I assume it's going to be in the star section of Disney Plus here. But they'll be filming it in about a month's time. It's about a woman who's trapped by an increasingly perilous dust storm and is haunted by her past encounters with a threatening presence and takes extraordinary measures to protect her family. I don't know about you, but that synopsis is giving me Interstellar vibes.
Sure.
I don't know if she's going to go into space or into some sort of parallel universe, but maybe.
She has a long sleep in the bath.
She won't have a long sleep in the bath, or she may end up accidentally being in some sort of Marvel thing. Oof. It's part of Disney, after all. Daniel Gillies is an actor who has been in Vampire Diaries and Virgin River, who is now going to be on the Australian ABC drama called The Newsreader. Now, I didn't see it, but I knew that it was a thing, right? They're in their
Is this the biography of, what's his name, Richard Moorcroft?
And he's playing Richard Moorcroft?
Sure, yeah.
Potentially, I'd have to watch it in order for. Were you just doing the 7:34?
Yeah.
It's set in the '80s, the cutthroat world of the 1980s TV news World in Melbourne, and he's going to be playing a character who is a privileged firstborn son of an aging newspaper mogul, desperate to make his own mark in the world.
Oh, God. It's cool. ABC.
Yep. Now I've got that song in my head. You only whistled one note.
Good work, ABC.
It's fine. I'll get it out of my
How many
head.
Different shows about Newspapers? Evil newspaper moguls can
oh
the ABC
gosh.
Make?
No, people love that stuff.
I know
though.
They do, but they don't they realise that it's just the opposite? Like they're just doing their own version of when Murdoch.
It's Murdoch stories. We just call it the Murdoch stories. We will have a watching suggestion in a – well, we will have watching suggestions in a moment, but I'm very intrigued to see if we get a Tom's fun fact.
We do have a fun fact. It's a short one. It's a simple one. We went to Legoland Windsor.
Was the Queen there? You know,
there was a Lego Queen there.
Nice.
And that leads me into the fun fact today, which someone – they have a Lego castle. They have a Lego hotel.
Mm-hmm.
In the foyer of the Lego hotel, they have life-size Legos of – life-size Lego figures of the Queen and Prince – what's his name? Prince William, the oldest one.
Yes, yes.
And his wife.
Kate.
Kate. And Prince Harry's still in there.
Oh,
that's
gosh.
The fun fact. It's awkward.
Is it really? And like, have they kind of pushed that one little bit aside?
He's off to the side a bit, yeah. But he's in his military uniform.
Ah, which is, that's a while ago.
That's
not so new.
It's probably 10 years old.
Mm.
But like, is he part of the support structure? And if they pull him out, do the other ones fall? Or is
maybe. It, oh,
good.
You know, because I can't be bothered to keep up with it all, I'm not really sure of the goings-on with Harry.
He's not a royal. He's
not a royal anymore. He's moved to the US.
Mm.
And occasionally people say that he said something.
Yeah, occasionally he pops up and says, that's right, Oprah.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And
that's about it.
No, I'm really not interested in being famous anymore. Thank you. Thank you. I would rather not.
I feel like I've seen him more now than I ever have.
They've definitely milked it.
Yeah.
But he got cut off from the teat, so he's got to make that money somehow.
Make money. Yeah, of course.
I just thought that was a bit of a fun fact. If you can't get enough of your royals and you are upset at Harry and you want to do something, go to Legoland Windsor and there's a Lego Harry figure you could stand with and perhaps make rude gestures and someone could take a photo of you using portrait mode so it would look official.
Portrait mode. What about if you stand in front of those Lego figures but you block Harry?
Oh, do it.
Is that possible?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, you could stand smiling with them and have your hand out covering his face like, no, not you, Harry. Yeah. Options. Options.
That's really good. I like that a lot. A quiz for you, a career quiz for you a little bit later on, but let's get into these watching suggestions.
Let's do it.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
So what you been watching?
I watched so many things.
Good.
Some of them we don't need to talk about because I know you talked about. Kenobi, I know we've spoken about plenty. Finish that one up.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was fine.
It's funny because some people really were like, oh, it was so boring.
I struggled to get through it.
Mm.
I took a 2 or 3 week break
mm-hmm.
and watched 3 episode blocks.
I mean, it was definitely a slow thing, but there was interesting stuff
there.
There
was some interesting stuff in there, but it was one of those weird things again with no one was really at any threat.
Was, yeah, because you already knew. Yeah, it's like it's the power. It's the – not the power. It's the – The struggle of a prequel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that was fine. Good stuff. The boys absolutely loved that. I know some people were a bit miffed with the finale episode, but I loved it to see where it's setting things up to go from there. And I'm still partway through the Umbrella Academy season 3, so I will circle back to that at another time. However, I saw one TV show and one film that we have to talk about.
Okay.
Which would you like first?
Film.
All right. So I watched a Japanese film called Beyond the Infinite 2 Minutes.
I don't know why in my head I'm like, all right, he's given me the title. Now I'm going to try and figure out what the synopsis is.
You won't.
Could just let you tell me.
So over the last couple of years, there's been this art style that swept through Japanese cinema of doing one-take films. You remember a few years ago I was obsessed with that movie, One Cut of the Dead, which is the one-take zombie film that keeps pulling back layers. This film was made for less than 20 grand. I think it came out over there tail end of 2020.
Okay.
It got railroaded a bit by COVID stuff. However, it's made by a small comedy troupe. And remember I talk a lot about that movie Primer. It's about time travel. And I've seen it a bunch of times. And I understand how the movie's made. I can't explain what it's about.
Yeah.
This is the opposite of that. This is a one-take film about time travel that it finished. And I went, that's amazing. I could explain everything about this. I can't tell you how they made that.
On 20,000 as well.
In one take. So it's an hour and 15-minute type thing. What the story is, it's a guy. He's finished work for the day. He runs a cafe downstairs. He's come up to his room and he's about to live stream himself doing a bit of guitar practice. And he turns on his computer and he realizes that that's the feed from the cafe downstairs. And he's looking at it a bit funny. And then he himself walks into the feed and starts talking to him and basically says, hey, man, how you doing? I'm you 2 minutes from now. I don't know how this has happened, but what you see in your room is 2 minutes ahead of what's happening down here. Anyway, if you want to find out more, come on down. And then he goes down to the cafe and has that conversation with himself to set that up.
Wow.
It's only over 2 minutes, and a couple of other people come into the cafe at night and this sort of stuff, and someone has the bright idea of what happens if we bring that screen down here and place them looking at each other, and then boom, 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 so you can communicate 12 minutes, 16 minutes, 28, and like keeps going exponentially further and stuff. As I said, I don't know how they made this film, because there's a little bit of behind the scenes stuff and they've got like people hiding in cupboards and pushing things down from the rafters to make things happen at the right time and all this sort of stuff. And it gets out of hand and there's some gangsters involved later and all this sort of stuff. But I loved this movie.
How did you discover it?
So it was the biggest financial success film of the last couple of years.
Okay.
It premiered, pardon me, on one screen with 12 seats during the middle of COVID and then steamrolled to become, you know, Japan wasn't taking any new films in at the time, so they could just keep throwing this on more and more screens. So it did really well over there. I could see someone trying to do a remake of it over here and it would just fail. But yeah, I heard whispers about it was a really good film, and then it popped up on iTunes, grabbed it from there, and it just blew my mind. And it was a warm, happy thing. And that's the beauty of these one-take films, is they finish and then the credits roll and then it's almost like someone's yelled cut and you just see everyone like, oh, we did it. It's that vibe, and you feel that while they're making the film.
Yeah.
All for this crazy time travel thing from a tiny comedy troupe. It was great.
I just need to ask though, how many times have you now seen it?
I've watched it twice.
Yeah, okay.
As I say, it's the polar opposite of that really confusing movie I love, Primer, but it's funny that it came out like not too far apart from Everything Everywhere All at Once, because it's that quiet version of weird stuff.
I think the only one-take film I've seen years ago was that Russian Ark movie.
Yeah.
It felt like it went forever. There was probably a storyline. I'm not really sure, but it was pretty – it was more about, hey, look at the cool weird stuff we're doing over the course of a little bit too long. This one sounds like this is a story. Now let's try and make it into a one-take thing.
That's it. They came up with the plot of everything
before
first,
the concept,
and then the concept is so strong because every other time you see time travel stuff, it gets out of hand. It's big.
Yeah,
this is just what if you found two computer screens that were a bit fucked up?
Yeah, right.
That's And could you try and predict how to make some money? Would you, you know, like Back to the Future, would you try and get a ledger of a book or something? It's all really low key. Like, okay, that is, if should I put $5 in the pokies? No? Okay, I won't.
No, I'm not going to do it. I think it's interesting because time travel stuff can be, and also we were talking about like the multiverse, like parallel universes and stuff. They can get really dark. They get really, really dark. And you mentioned Back to the Future, and I think Back to the Future 2, yeah, had a dark bit in it. But they managed to keep that relatively, like there wasn't much confusion.
Yeah.
Because as kids could watch it and make, like, make sense of what's happening. And it sounds like this is along the same lines.
This is, if a paradox happens, it happens. Yeah. And that thing blinks out of existence and everyone moves on.
Mm.
It's your brain rewrites and you forget that it's a thing.
So funny.
Yeah.
That's cool. You mentioned Umbrella Academy. I'm going to, I know this is a massive thing to do, but I'm going to lump that in with Stranger Things season 4. So Umbrella Academy season 3, Stranger Things season 4. I think I said to you, or I said to someone, I am not rushing either of these two.
Mm-hmm.
There's no need. What's the point? Particularly Stranger Things, because some of those episodes were, I think the last one was about 2 hours, 20 minutes. So proper movie length. You know what? I enjoyed them more, particularly Umbrella Academy, because the last season I did, I powered through so that we could talk about it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed these two seasons way more than previous ones just because I think I took my time. Netflix offers you the binge option, but you don't have to take it. There's no need to.
Do you notice that every other streamer has bailed on the binge because everyone's gone,
it's too much.
It's too much. It kills any momentum around hype for the show.
And conversations.
Yeah, by breaking Stranger Things up, I saw more conversations about it this season than I have any other time in the past.
Yep. Yeah, you're so right. And it was great. You know, it had all of the things that other seasons have had. It built on stuff that has happened in every single season, whether those things had been mentioned in previous seasons, if you know what I mean. So maybe something happened in season one was not mentioned in season two, but we're coming back to it in season four. I really enjoyed that. I was under the impression this was the last season, but it's not. There's one more. One they more. Said there's one more to go. And there was something in, I think it was the first, maybe second season, I can't remember because I haven't rewatched them, that was an interesting storyline, and I thought they might have touched on it in this one, but they didn't. And I'm wondering now if perhaps they're holding on to it for the last season. Umbrella Academy, I think they've got maybe, I saw it in the news that they've either been guaranteed one or two more seasons.
You know what I've been enjoying about this season? I'm only a couple of episodes in, but
yeah.
Season two of Umbrella Academy seemed to have lost a lot of the hope.
Yeah.
And the characters were stranded and against everything. And they've kind of refound each other. They've all found a lot of hope. I really enjoyed how they handled Elliot Page.
Yes.
And I'm happy for Luther.
Yeah, Luther. You know,
it's about time worked out nicely for him. So, yeah. I've still got plenty more to go, obviously, so don't crush my spirits if I've
No.
Held up on something that's like, hey, yay, Luther.
No. I tell you, though, that first couple of minutes of that first episode where suddenly there's a dance-off.
Oh, it was good, wasn't it?
I just set it up. I was like, this is what the season's going to be. Just enjoy this vibe. So, but yeah, I'm a little lost, to be honest with you, because they're two massive shows that I always look forward to watching, and now they're finished for me.
Have you got HBO Max? No.
I've got Foxtel, so yes.
I don't know if you've seen yet,
but
the rehearsal has begun.
Okay.
So this is Nathan Fielder's new show.
It's so funny. I actually heard people talking about this when I was driving home yesterday, and it was so interesting listening to people talk about it that weren't you.
Really? What were they saying?
So they were, I mean, this was like ABC Radio afternoon. So they had to, you know, they were trying to be not too in the weeds, but they had like four people on talking about it. They were like, we just need to unpack this. There was one lady in particular who said, I've been reviewing TV shows for 20 years. I've never seen anything like this.
There is nothing that has ever existed like this show.
So can you give us like a rundown?
So Nathan Fielder as a character comes from Nathan For You, which was a show where a reality show was how it was pitched to the people, but the reality of what we saw is that it is a comedic take of a very stilted man who has poor social skills using his business acumen to help small businesses with ideas that are ridiculous yet somehow ridiculously work. So one was to help a small coffee shop take on the Starbucks that had opened across the road from it by becoming Dumb Starbucks, because under parody and satire law in that state, they could brand everything Dumb Starbucks and get away with it. And they did for a couple of days until they got investigated and didn't have the proper serving food license permission.
Technicality. Yeah, exactly,
taken down by technicality. But throughout, they did four seasons of that show, and that show grew from very weird but funny skits to learning about Nathan, again, the character, through the lens of Nathan making the show, that so much of what he was doing was in an effort to try and understand people better because he was so poor at social relationships.
Yep.
So this next show, the rehearsal that he got, he signed a deal with HBO a few years ago. He's done that show How To with John Wilson, where he's executive producer on this, and then the rest of the time he's been working on this behind the scenes, and he is assisting people. What if you had to make a really difficult life decision? How amazing would it be if you could rehearse that? That's the idea of the show. Now the first episode is he's working with a guy who's a teacher. He needs to tell his trivia group that he lied to them a few years ago when he said that he had his master's. That's all it is.
That's it.
And he's convinced that one of them, one of the group, one lady, is going to react very, very poorly, potentially with anger, maybe even violence. Mm. And he's terrified of telling her. So Nathan comes to his house and they have a really easygoing conversation. Nathan reveals to him that 6 weeks earlier, when there was a gas leak in the building, the people that came to check it out were actually designers, and they had taken 3D renderings of this guy's apartment.
Right.
And Nathan had built the guy's apartment so that he could rehearse how that conversation would go perfectly. Hired an actor that looked like the guy. All of this stuff. So he shows that a flow chart that he's got of the different ways the conversation could have gone and this sort of stuff. And the guy's like, this is amazing. Let's do it. So Nathan then has a complete recreation of the bar that this guy does trivia in, built. And when I say complete, like as in the rips in the cushions are the same. There is a balloon that is stuck in the rafters. Or like they spent so much fucking money on this thing. But it works, and they hire actors to play all the different people. And this guy, for weeks, runs through the different iterations of how this conversation could go until he finally feels confident. And it still goes differently.
Really? So none of the...
All the prep was worth it.
Okay.
The guy shows that he's more concerned with losing trivia. It comes out that like when the trivia is happening, he can't concentrate on breaking this bad news. It's just so Nathan spends a few weeks. He finds out what like he goes to the guy that's going to be running the trivia night, who's not an actor, and says, "Oh, we're interested in having you audition for this other place. Would you fire off? Give us a few of the questions you've got for the upcoming event on Monday. Records those, and then spends the next 3 days like Pavloving" those answers into the guy's brain without him realizing so that he can ace the trivia quiz.
Oh, my gosh.
Holy shit. It's he's Willy Wonka. And like the guy calls him Willy Wonka at one point. And Nathan's like, isn't he the bad guy?
It's a gray area.
It's fucked up. It made me cry at one point.
Really?
Because things go, for some things it goes way better than expected and for other things it goes horribly wrong.
Yeah.
And you realize by the end of the first episode that the show is not at all about these people rehearsing. It's about Nathan pulling the strings.
Yeah, watching him being a puppet master.
Watching him come to terms with the fact that you can't live life like this.
Mm.
But that his entire career has been built on making this a thing. So it's so psychological. The second episode, it turns out it's a two-parter. I haven't seen the second part. Is a woman who wants to know what it would be like to raise a child.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't have a partner. She's in her 40s, this mm-hmm. sort of stuff. So over the course of 2 months, every 3 days, the baby will be the child will be swapped out to be a year older.
Yeah, right.
But because babies can only work for 4 hours at a time,
yes,
people have to break, like they come in through the side of the house to replace the child.
So
actor.
There's several different kids.
Oh, yep.
It's a lot.
The show is amazing. There is literally nothing like it. I know I've just waxed lyrical about all of that. That's the surface level of what this show is about. There's so much more going on there. It's very funny.
Yeah.
His reaction, his whole deal is to make people, Louis Theroux says crazy things, looks you in the eyes and makes you reply with secrets that you didn't know you had. Nathan's deal is similar to that, to just create an uncomfortable situation and let you try and walk your way out of it. And it happens over and over on this show. And you're like, this guy is not, he does not operate on the same psychological level as us.
Yeah, right.
And it pulls back. Every time you're like, every time you get complacent in the narrative of what's going on, of like, oh, it's so cool how this is evolving, it pulls back to show you him in the control room staring at 20 screens or him rewriting the flow chart of how a conversation with the parents of these child actors will go. Or it's all, he leaves nothing to chance because he has severe psychological issues. And he lets drop at one point that he was recently divorced. And then an old guy dives into the pool where he's having this conversation with the guy and they're trying to get to know each other a bit better. And Nathan mentions that he was recently divorced together for 3 years, but it didn't work out. And then this old guy jumps in the pool and you're like, the fuck is this? And then it cuts to Nathan saying that he had prearranged for that old guy to jump in there because he didn't want to reveal too much. He just wanted to reveal enough to create an emotional connection with this guy of they're alike, they've both been divorced. But by having this old guy jump in there, that conversation gets cut off and they don't know each other well enough that this guy would ever bring it up again.
Far out.
Oh my God, it's so good. So it comes out Saturday mornings our time.
Okay. Do you think this is the kind of show that it's one season and it's done?
I say it could be building that way, but it could also be building that everyone else on the show is an actor that's been employed to try and help Nathan break this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what season two is about. Mm. I know that sounds ridiculous because these people are – I don't know where the real ends and the fakes.
Yeah.
And that's going to change each week. And so until we have this full clear picture, which we may never get.
Yeah. Yeah. So the people that were talking about it on the radio yesterday, one said that she's talking about the trivia bloke.
Mm.
And she said that she couldn't figure out if he was real or not, so much so that it was driving her crazy, and she went on an absolute Google deep dive. Yep. And she said that she did find stuff and it was all trivia related, but she doesn't know if Nathan, aka the show, had planted that on the internet or if he is real. And she said it was so much and she bought into it. Like, it just made it better.
That's what I mean. Everything is so believable, but your brain constantly pulls you out going, is this?
Yeah.
Is it, like,
how weird.
It is the most psychologically experimental show I've seen in so long, because it's just existing on like 8 different levels at once.
Yeah.
And you can sit back and watch it as a silly thing of, oh, look at this guy thing. But the more you lean into it and be like, hang on, it's
– yeah.
It's very rich and rewarding.
How – yeah.
There's only going to be 6 episodes.
Well, it sounds like each one has taken so long to craft. Talk about pre-production.
If you aren't getting your watches fixed just by listening, follow the watches on Twitter and Instagram.
Well, I watched something a little bit different. I rewatched for the first time in years and years and years, Matilda.
Oh, that's a firm favourite in our household.
Good movie.
You know, there's a remake of, the musical is being turned into a film with Emma Thompson.
Yeah, Emma Thompson. And, you know, I think that she would be the only person that I would approve of having anything to do with a remake of this film, because I feel like it's just so perfect.
She looks pretty great in the trailer.
She's pretty good all the time, though, let's be honest. She
doesn't phone it in.
No, she definitely doesn't. The only thing that's slightly confusing about this movie, and I kind of remember that it was a thing, but I don't remember it. I don't remember questioning it, is that Danny DeVito plays the father.
Yes.
And also the narrator.
Yes.
2 separate people.
Well, he also directed
He directed it as well, but it's not a problem. I just, this time round I went, so it's the dad. I went, no, that's not the dad. That's just Danny DeVito doing narration. But everybody in that is awesome.
It's awesome.
Even down to the other kids.
Yep.
Just amazing. I remember, what's her name, Miss Trunchbull. Is that her name?
Trunchbull.
The principal. I remember thinking she was wonderfully horrible, but rewatching it again.
She's awful.
But what an amazing performance. She had fun from the very second she got on set until they said cut. Yeah. She is having an absolute ball being this horrible character. So good. And the Roald Dahlness just, it comes out in such a wonderful way that I'm a bit worried now. And it'd be interesting to see this Emma Thompson one, because I'm a little worried now that if it was made today, some of the things would have been a little less extreme.
Oh, but you've got Tim Minchin doing, he did the music.
Yeah,
it's
fair enough.
Very silly.
Fair enough. Such a fun movie. I kind of want to watch Witches now.
Sure.
Because that one was one of my other Roald Dahl favourites. Witches and Matilda, they're kind of my top two. Does Shay watch Witches, or is that a bit scary still?
She's weird. She likes Disney version of scary, but she won't. Anything that's actually a little bit scary like that, no.
Nothing to do with it. Oh, she won't be able to watch the Goonies for a while then.
No, we tried.
That's not going to happen. Did you watch anything else?
I watched one episode of Man vs. Bee. Did you see that on Netflix?
I watched that. Yep, I watched that.
I couldn't handle it. It was too excruciating.
Let it go. Just let it go. Yeah, it's Mr. Bean, but that kind of awkward.
Yes.
I mean, Mr. Bean's always awkward, but
if I was 12, I would be loving this show. But I'm on the other side of that fence. Yeah. Don't trash my house.
Also, yeah, like he's not as aware as he should be, because he should be aware, because he's a bumbling fool. He's a bumbling fool, but he's not Mr. Bean. Mr. Bean's supposed to be that 10-year-old boy.
Yes.
In a man.
So it was well made. And I can't even remember his name, but the guy in it's from Green Wing.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, as soon as I saw him, I was like,
yep.
How is he not aged?
He's done well.
Green Wing's not a new show. No. That would have been 20 years
ago. But he looked scruffy when he
does
was
look
20.
Scruffy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he was going to grow into it. Yeah.
Caught a bit of that. That Origins of Hip Hop show that I was really enjoying. There was an episode about Lil Jon. I learned interesting things. He was very involved in Southern hip hop for a lot longer than expected.
Southern hip hop, does that include New Orleans? Because you mentioned Louis Theroux before, and I remember that episode where he's in, I'm pretty sure it was New Orleans, and
My
he was trying to
jiggle,
be.
Jiggle, jiggle.
Yeah.
It folds. caught Shay singing that. I'm like, how do you know about Louis Theroux? He's on TikTok all the time.
Really?
Okay. That song blew up on TikTok. I have it as a remix on my phone.
Bloody love that. Every part of that story. Bloody love it. It's amazing.
I watched plenty of other stuff, but I'll tell you all more next week.
Yeah, yeah. Drip feed. It is too much. You don't want to bombard us.
I've got a sore throat. I've been away. I don't really have a sore throat. I'm just saying I'm rusty from talking. Yeah,
too much talking. But is your brain ready for a bit of a quiz?
I'm going to give it my best shot. Hit me with your best shot.
I'm going to fire away. So this quiz is called What Did These Actors Quit Acting to Do?
Ooh.
So some of them, I must say, I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. And others I was like, I think this is what they did, but I'm not convinced.
All right.
So there might have to be a few hints in here as
okay, well. Okay,
okay. We're going to go first with Frankie Muntz from Malcolm in the Middle.
Muntz?
I was going to say Muntz in the Middle.
Malcolm in the Middle.
Malcolm in the Middle.
I am aware of what he got up to.
Okay.
He threw it all in to become an F1 racer.
That's right, he did.
And he was doing quite well at it for a while there until he had an accident.
I think so, yeah.
And a bit of brain injury that he had to give a lot of it up.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's done bits and pieces of acting since then.
He's popped up here and there. I've seen him on a lot of podcasts and sort of stuff of late. But, yeah, he earned enough.
That's what I was going to say. He made the money.
And, yeah. Oh, what was that movie he did? He did a movie where Paul Giamatti got dyed blue. Agent Cody Banks or something like
that. That's right. In my head, I always want to call it Spy Kids, even though I know it's not Spy Kids.
It's not Spy Kids, but it feels very Spy Kid.
Yeah.
And just Paul Giamatti having the whale of a time being a bad guy in a kids movie.
Why not?
He elevated that shit.
He's a good actor. Uh-huh. And Frankie now can just do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
I don't know what he does. What about from the Wonder Years, the original Wonder Years, Winnie Cooper, a.k.a. Danica McKellar?
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Even though I think she has gone on to do bits and pieces of acting, it's kind of
seems... That's not what she's mainly known for.
It's not what she's known for.
She's a bit of a bright spark, actually.
Oh, yes.
Good with the old... Mathematique.
1 + 1 = that's right. I'm pretty sure she did a PhD in mathematics and went on to...
She does books and gives lectures. And she's very, very heavily involved in the world of theoretical mathematics.
Which is something that I just know the name of, but don't ask me anymore. So she's very clever.
I've seen her have a couple of chats with your Neil deGrasse Tysons.
Cool.
Your Bill Nye. She educated Bill Nye on stuff, which is always interesting to see.
I'm trying to think of that English bloke who talks about space a lot.
Carl Sagan. No, Brian Cox.
Yeah. She'd have a chat with him.
Not the old Brian Cox from Succession.
Oh, no, no,
Young Brian Cox, who looks like he was in Pulp or something. No, he was in something. Mazzy Star or something like that.
What's the Pulp singer's name?
Jarvis Cocker.
Cocker. Okay.
He used to be in some, maybe Suede?
Oh, really?
He was in some early 90s. He's still got the same hairdo. He does.
What about Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen? You know they were going to come up.
Mm.
They've not gone back into acting.
They've not, have they?
They've washed their hands clean of that.
Oof. They've been busy entrepreneuring.
Yeah, it's a...
With their empire.
Yeah, empire which sort of to do with fashion.
It's fashion, it's makeup, it's branding.
I think there's a lot of non-smiling. I don't think I've seen them smile since they were Mary-Kate and Ashley. I mean, I know they're still Mary-Kate and Ashley, but... You know,
they don't smile.
They don't smile anymore.
They've had work done.
Oh, causing them not to smile.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Do you think, who do you think has made their parents prouder? Twins or Elizabeth? She's in the movies now.
She's kind of gone, I'm just going to do these massive movies.
Yeah,
I'm just going to do the big ones.
Yeah.
They never did a big movie, did they? But they did build an empire.
They built a big empire.
Are there other siblings? Like, there has to be kind of a brother that never got into anything, right?
I don't know. We should maybe we should start a
an Olsen watch.
All right, consider it done. We will look into it for next week, and we'll come up with a solid name for that segment.
Yeah, Olsen watch. Yeah,
not saying Olsen watch is not strong, but I'm.
But it's
Dandy Warholen was strong. If we're going to replace a beloved segment like that.
Okay, well, we've got a week to think about it. And by week to think about it, I mean next week when 5 minutes before we record, we'll go, oh, what are we going to call it?
Oh, I'll come up with something now. I'm already thinking about Holster and the Olsons or something. You know what I mean? We'll get there.
Okay, Shirley Temple. She didn't go on to make Lemonade.
Oh, my God, I taught Shay milk, lemonade round the back. Fudge is made. Heard that so many times in the way.
Too good.
Shirley Temple, she became a drink?
No, not a drink. In fact, she became a politician and diplomat. Oh. She was a diplomat for the United States in countries. She did a massive career swerve. Early 20s, I think it was, she went, nah, I know I'm one of the biggest stars ever. I've just done a movie with – I've probably done 400 movies with Mickey Rourke. Mickey Rourke's the one who's had a bit of work done. But she did a bit of work with Mickey Rooney. They were both child stars. And she went, nah. Went on to do a lot of stuff.
Good on you, Shirley.
Mara Wilson, because I watched Matilda. This is obviously where this has all come from. You know – a wonderful child star, very cool, did a lot, then stopped.
Well, she had a rough patch for a while there, I'm sure.
I don't think it was like Drew Barrymore rough.
No, no. I'm done with Hollywood rough.
Yeah.
Is she an activist?
She wanted to be a writer. Okay. I don't know what she wrote. I mean, I write stuff as well.
I've seen her write some incendiary tweets.
Yes.
Blowing things up, blowing up people's spots.
Yeah.
That's why I said activist.
Yeah. Well, maybe they're activist books. Maybe she's a blogger.
She's written many nice things about Danny DeVito that will make you love him just a bit more. When they were making Matilda, her mum was very, very ill.
Oh, yeah.
And Mara came to stay with Danny's family while they made the film, and he got a rough cut of the film made early enough to show to her mother before she passed.
Aww.
And has kind of been like a surrogate dad for her ever since.
I like that. It's a nice story.
You'd love to hear it about, especially Danny DeVito. Who's going to have a bad word about him?
I don't think you can. Another thing about that Matilda is he really got the tone. Mm-hmm. He got the tone of what those books are about. Anyway, he's brilliant. He's brilliant. Final one, Jeff Cohen, a.k.a. Chunk from the Goonies.
Oh. Is he slinging real estate or something?
Oh, sort of.
Development?
I object.
Oh, he's a lawyer.
He's a lawyer. Yeah.
You go. Well, Data, he was gone for a while.
He was gone for ages.
And then he came back this year in a big way.
Yeah. I hope that's not the end.
No way. He's getting so much work out of that.
Jordan
Peele's going to put him in a movie or someone, you know.
Oh, see, I was going to say he's going to pop up in something Marvel.
Sure. I mean, they are making Indiana Jones 5 for some reason. Why there can't be some, don't call me Short Round. And, you know, have him in there. That'd be a fun reveal.
Data.
All right, so he's a lawyer.
He's a lawyer. That's exactly what he is. And good on him. I'm sure that means that he's made quite a fair bit of money without having to worry too much about trying to remain looking like a child actor.
Have you been sued unintentionally? Have you accidentally hit someone's car? Do you want to see me do the truffle shuffle? And call me, Jeff Cohen, on
1-800. No, 555-5555.
80085. That's boobs.
Oh, so how do you feel? You feel back in the swing of things?
Oh, a bit pooped.
Yeah.
Bit jet lagged, but I feel like I summoned some good energy for today.
I think
we've had a good time.
Fun. That was good fun. That was good fun. I think you've got a plethora of other things you can do to talk about in the watching suggestions.
Yeah, I've still got some.
Week.
Still got some tucked away.
It's always nice having leftovers.
We didn't talk about Thor that I saw. We didn't talk about Jurassic World.
Yeah,
we got plenty of them.
Yeah. Okay. Great. All right. Well, let's do this again next week. And on that note, Tom, thank you very much.